Tiffany and Company, the jewelry company, they have launched men's engagement rings, which obviously have existed before, but this is like a legit engagement ring where it's a men's ring that has a big diamond in the middle.
Seems kind of strange. Is it raised? So what signifies an engagement ring for a man, right? I mean, my wedding band has diamonds in it, but they're not raised. So is it raised?
No, they're set inside the band, but they're big diamonds. Like yours are like little. Like this is like 2-carat diamonds, 1-carat diamonds, like you would buy for typically a woman, you know?
I got to feel like you probably could have got that beforehand, but I mean, was there any market for it, I guess?
Yeah, and it's interesting to me because I remember my mom and dad always talked about it, but when they got engaged, he proposed to my mom, but she like knew that they were getting engaged, and she gave him a ring too. And back then, and I don't know if it's just something that was, I don't know, around here, but everybody got engaged with puzzle rings.
Yeah, well, that was the 70s. That's what that was.
It was. It was the late 70s that this happened. So wait, is that when they were popular?
It wasn't regional. It was, you know, shag carpeting, Trans Ams, and puzzle rings. That was normal.
But it made me think, like, why don't guys wear engagement rings? If girls wear engagement rings, why wouldn't guys wear engagement rings? And I did some research because I always was fascinated by the puzzle ring.
Let me hear what the internet says.
A puzzle ring, sometimes called a Turkish wedding ring, used to be given as by the husband as a wedding ring because if the wife removed it, presumably to commit adultery, the bands of the ring would fall apart and she would be unable to reassemble it before its absence would be noticed.
Oh my gosh.
So that was...
Catch that tricky fiance.
Right?
What a nonsense. Like, that's crazy.
I read that. I was like, oh.
I mean, people were terrible, right?
Right.
Oh, now, my gosh.
So I don't want to propose to Tiffany and Company what to do with their jewelry line, considering they've pretty much figured it out since the company's been around since the 19th century. But if they really wanted to make some money off these engagement rings, they might want to combine the puzzle ring with the diamond so that if a guy put it on and he knew that he took it off for, you know, to be adulterous, I guess the word, then the diamond would fall loose and it would fall apart everywhere.
That sounds like more nonsense.
It is, kind of.
As a regular guy, I honestly have no desire for a large diamond on the ring. Like, if I was presented with it, it was one thing, but at engagement time, you're thinking engagement, right? Then you're thinking all the other things that come with it. There's a lot of expense that comes with getting engaged. Obviously, planning for your wedding date. If you're not living together by then, it's probably the next step for you to take on right at that point. Another $3,000, $4,000, you're throwing at a guy's wedding band. Most of the time, he's going to say, no, I'm good.
Let me tell you something, Raven. These are Tiffany & Company men's engagement rings.
Right.
A whole lot more than $4,000.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know if they're going to become a popular thing.
But I want it right now. I want to take the trademark out on puzzle engagement rings for men. They're going to be making a comeback.
That are also an adulterous trap.
Yep. Trillions of these insects called cicadas have started emerging from the ground like zombies after 17 years, Raven. And it's really nature at its weirdest. Get ready to learn something.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Okay. This is Sir David Attenborough, the only person that should ever teach us anything about science.
I love this guy.
These cicadas in the eastern United States spend 17 whole years below ground, sucking sap from tree roots. And then, within a few days, a whole population emerges.
So, in 15 states, right now, they're starting to come up, and people are like, what the heck is happening? So what actually does happen when these trillions of bugs come from the ground, Raven?
They clamber up the trees whose roots have provided them with sap for all of those 17 years. And here they change into their adult costume.
They literally just shed their skin.
It's very strange, the exoskeleton. You'll find them hanging around on trees, in your yard or whatever. The dogs like to check them out.
It's nasty.
Yeah.
Well, it's not nasty. It's beautiful. I keep telling myself that. Stop saying it's nasty.
Well, it's just different than what you're used to.
All right. So they climb above ground, and then what do?
The millions have started to sing. The noise is ear-splitting.
After 17 years of living underground, the cicadas are now approaching the climax of their lives.
Wait a minute. I don't know if I'm okay with Sir David Attenborough saying climax under any situation, to be honest with you.
I mean, if anybody's going to say it, actually, he should be the one to say it.
You think so?
Play it again.
You want him to say...
The cicadas are now approaching the climax of their lives.
Oh.
And he says it with such a... there's a little bit of a... It's a brogue in there. You hear it? It's, the X really drags on.
So they're singing.
Like the naughtiest booty show carnival barker you could find with an English accent. It's
the
great.
Climax. Okay.
Nobody's a climax.
So these males are making all that noise that you may hear if you're in an area with the cicadas. And basically, it's so loud, and they're doing that. It's just the males to attract the women.
Okay,
so,
of course, because that's sexy, man. Come on.
Yeah.
Hear it.
How do they know if a female is into their singing?
Females reply with a quite different sound. A click made by flicking her wings.
Literally, you can fool them. If you go next to a cicada, a male one, and you just click your fingers, it'll start trying to mate with your fingers. True story.
Come on.
I read that online.
Come on
I read
with that nonsense.
No, Sir David Attenborough said that. I swear, I saw it in the video.
I dare you to try that this weekend.
And then what happens? So let's say, okay, here's the guy. He's making all that noise. Mm-hmm. It's all loud.
Yes,
right?
Mr. Cicada. Yeah.
Yeah, they're up in the trees doing that. And then here it comes. And then all of a sudden, the girl's like, she's into it. She's into it.
Yeah.
All right. Then what goes happen?
At last, a male finds his partner. And as he does so, his call alters. He's indicating to her that after 17 years, the time has come to get down to business.
She's the one. I wish you could see Anna's face right now because it is truly like, I mean, look at you. You're
giggling.
Like a schoolgirl.
I'm giggling. No. I can't help myself.
It's like you walked into your parents. Something very strange happening here.
And then that's it. Then the women have
that's
these.
It.
They have these. They're called nymphs.
Yeah.
And they go die.
And we'll see you in another 17 years.
The nymphs fall from the trees. They bounce twice. That's weird, right? It bounces twice.
Yes.
Goes underground. And then they go down there for 17 years. And then we do it all again. Isn't it weird?
Enjoy the nature.
Okay.
That's all I need to know about you.
That's all I need to know about you.
That's all I need to know about you.
Checking our text line this morning. When you order a salad or an appetizer at a restaurant and they bring it at the same time as your dinner, that's all I need to know about you.
Oh, okay. So not the I'm having a salad for the meal, but the salad that comes with the meal.
The appetizer.
Yeah.
That's interesting because I don't necessarily think that's the waiter's fault unless they put it in wrong. Maybe it is all I need to know about you.
You don't really know.
You don't know.
Yeah, you don't really know. You know what's the worst is when they say, do you want me to bring the appetizer first? And you're like, no. Just as
all
soon
the
as
same
this stuff
time.
Comes out. You don't even have to say same time. Just whenever it comes out, it's fine.
Yeah.
And then they take an hour to bring you any food.
You know, it's always so tricky because obviously I'm a restaurant kid. My parents I've owned restaurants my whole life. So I know that every restaurant has different ways that you put things in.
Right.
So when you say that, just as it's ready, take it out, you're really taking a gamble. Because if they're sending it all at the same time, that means that your ticket will get moved last and you might be waiting an hour for your food.
Here's the thing. I know that there's a system in a way that people typically do this in restaurants, but all it takes is, hey, these people would like this way.
It's not
way.
That easy.
Oh, come on.
Oh, you've never worked with a pushy head chef. Trust me.
I mean, they're all pushy. There's not a single head chef that isn't pushy.
That's true. 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. That's all I need to know about you.
If I'm complaining about work and someone is completely in a different field and then leans over to me and says, you see, what you got to do is, that's all I need to know about you.
Right.
You have no idea what you're talking about. Just let me complain in peace, please.
It's a lot of times where people think they know how to do your job better than you do, and they always got advice, even if they know nothing about what they're saying, and they always offer it, too.
Armchair quarterbacking is fun, right? No consequences. You don't have to worry about whether or not you're actually any good at it.
That's all I need to know about you.
What is the thing that people most tell you, the thing that you have to do with your job, Anna?
No, I like when they... We're going to vent.
Do it.
I like when people tell me what I should talk about on the show tomorrow.
Right.
But it's something that
it's,
I know...
It's something so left field that we would never do on the show.
Exactly.
Right, but that's the thing we have to talk about tomorrow.
Yeah. I love that. you need ideas for the show tomorrow? Yeah, I just show up unprepared every day.
If you've left all your recyclables out in the rain the last 3 days because you just think that it'll be easier to break down the boxes after they're soaking wet, that's all I need to know about you. You know, big project this past weekend with all that gazebo building going at my house, Anna.
Mm-hmm.
And I've left every single one of the boxes. These are huge boxes, 10 feet long, each of them. I've left them in my driveway ever since.
Why?
I just don't feel like getting to them.
No.
The recycle bin was full. the first day, and I was exhausted anyways. They weren't making it in there, and now they're just sitting there in the driveway, and I can only imagine how many worms are underneath those boxes.
You've made it so much nastier to have to clean up.
Yeah.
Ugh, yucky.
I'm hoping somebody will show up and take care of it for me, like the town.
And they won't.
With a blight complaint.
That's not how it works.
No?
That's all I need to know about you. All right, 1-800-330-9999. You can always call or text, too. You just have to fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you.
Anna and Raven's Pick'em News.
Raven picks them. Three big news stories, but you're really only going to get to hear about one. And Raven gets to choose which one it's going to be. Ready for your options today, Raven?
Sure. What's going on in the world?
Number one, New Yorker who fathered 78 children admits he just can't say no.
Come on, man.
Number two, a woman harassed because of her emotional support pig.
Uh-huh. I'm sure she's just trying to bring it everywhere.
Number three, duck hatches from free-range egg woman bought at grocery store.
You know, I've been hearing about this and other times of ducks being hatched. So let tell me what happened with this one.
Okay, turns out she's not alone. This woman, this is how she got the idea to hatch an egg from basically the duck eggs that she bought at the grocery store.
I was watching TikTok. Somebody had tried it and they were doing like an experiment. So I thought, oh, I'll have a go.
So everybody on TikTok, well, a lot of people on TikTok have been trying to hatch eggs that they have like in their refrigerators, right?
Right.
And she was like, all right, let me see if I can do it.
Sure. So do you do it? I mean, do you just let it sit there for a long time or what do you do with this thing?
Well, you take the eggs out and you have to hold it up to the light, if everything I'm reading is correct, and you have to see if it has veins in it. So if it has veins in the egg, like then it is a fertilized egg and it actually can be hatched. So she went and she looked through her eggs, and out of the dozen eggs, one of them had the veins.
Right.
So she was like, huh. All right.
Let me give it a shot. So what do you do then? You sit on it? You heat it? What do you do?
Well, she bought an incubator, and you just have to, like, keep it warm. She put it in a duck incubator. Right. And then all of a sudden, 30 days later...
No, I didn't believe it myself until he came out. I could see him moving in there, but it wasn't real until he actually came out. Yeah, I got home from work, and he was just sitting there.
30 days later, she came home, and there was just a duck.
Sitting in that incubator.
In that incubator. And now she's like, all right.
Well,
now
what does she do with the duck now?
What? So then she read online that they don't like to be alone. So she adopted another duck. So the duck would have a friend. Like, imagine.
Or just go back to the grocery store, get another dozen eggs, I guess, right?
She said, oh, my gosh, I shouldn't laugh. She's like, it just makes me so sad that this could have been somebody's scrambled eggs on a piece of toast. I'm like. Oh,
well, now, I mean, you let it grow. You became something now. You're in love. You're caring for this thing. That's a little bit different. On the other hand, you know, just close your eyes and eat.
TikTok makes me nervous when they do things like this. Like, all of a sudden, this is trending. I just imagine my 12-year-old daughter, Hayden, being like, huh.
Yeah, look, Mom.
Look, Ma.
I got five ducks.
I just woke up in my backyard.
There's nothing for breakfast at this point. But right, now we're the proud owner of five ducks.
I walk into my backyard. There's just a line of baby ducks everywhere. I'm like, Hayden, what did you do? She's like, I've been doing this in the basement for 3 weeks now. I've been hatching duck eggs.
You weren't aware of it. But this is me and all my friends were doing it.
All right. If you're a parent, just be wary. This could be happening at your house, too.
Oh.
What advice would you give to someone turning 30 years old about life? You can text 1-800-330-9999. It's a big Star Wars week. May the 4th be with you. And what is today, Raven? Revenge of the Sith?
Revenge of the Sixth.
Okay. I don't know a whole lot about Star Wars.
Sixth. It's kind of a reach.
Yeah, it's sixth, but it's Sith. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. But if you don't follow Mark Hamill, a.k.a. Luke Skywalker, on Twitter, he's really funny, and he responds a lot. That's why he has a big following.
I love him. He's great. I love that he circled back there with the latest franchise. It's been really, really good.
Mm-hmm. So somebody tweeted at him this week, I'm turning 30 years old today. This was on May the 4th be with you, May 4th. Mm-hmm. And he asked, what advice do you have for me? Now, I would think if you're Luke Skywalker, you would say things like,
I know there is good in you. The Emperor hasn't driven it from you fully.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe...
You must feel the Force around you.
I don't believe it.
That is why you fail.
I mean, you never actually watch Star Wars, do you?
No, never.
Yeah, because both of those are Yoda.
Oh.
The second and third one, those
were
Yoda.
Yeah, but he's responding. He's having conversations with him.
Yeah, I mean, he was
him.
Like, yeah. Like, yeah. Yoda was like, yeah, do this. And he was like, okay. Like, I mean, that wasn't his advice.
Still advice.
But I get what you were going for.
Your weapons. You will not need them.
Yoda again. It's Yoda again.
I guess Yoda really gives good advice.
Right.
And I guess it all really makes sense.
I mean, he's known for
now,
it. Right.
Because instead of actually responding to that,
yes.
You know what he did?
What did he do?
He posted a meme of a pig hanging out of a car window holding a pinwheel, and all it said was, enjoy the ride. That was his advice for turning 30 years old.
Well, good for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What would be your advice for somebody turning 30 years old?
Well, you know,
you're 45 now.
Wow. Thanks for pointing that out. Yeah. I mean, well, when you mention it, you know, I think obviously of myself at 30 is where most of my advice would be centering around. But I mean, I think this basically applies to anybody. So don't always be waiting for the bigger, better thing. It's good to be driven, but you got to live in the now. You've got to live in the now. I've always been thinking my whole life, like, what I need to be doing next, what I'm driving towards. And it's good to have goals. It really is. But at the same time, like, you get to a certain age where you reflect and you're like, wow, I should have maybe wallowed in that a little bit longer. I should have enjoyed myself a little bit longer here at that moment or whatever. Advice my mom gave me when I was ending my first marriage, which took like 10 seconds to do. You can wait your whole life for people to change, but they seldom do. It's the truth is that people only change when they truly, truly want to, not when you want them to change.
That's good advice,
so too. So don't hold your breath on that one. Yeah. And lastly, there's no such thing as communal property in a marriage that lasts 7 months or less.
Okay. Yeah. That's good advice.
That's the advice that I have.
How come two out of your three advice to 30-year-olds are about divorce? It's really weird.
Well, it's America. There's a certain age here. And Yoda didn't really cover that stuff in any of the films.
All right. Let's check our text line. advice you have for somebody turning 30 years old. Start buying stocks now so you have a retirement.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Let's see, another one. Take ibuprofen whether you think you need it or not. Why?
Okay.
I don't understand why. Should I be doing
that? Is that at the end of a night of drinking or
just
what?
Just in general?
Just in general? That feels like a bad idea because what when you really need it, then it's not going
to
work.
Pick smarter friends to hang out with. That's actually a good one.
That's good advice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I turned 40 this past year, so I think in my head I just was 30, and I can't believe it's 10 years later.
Right.
But I think this is what 30 is when people start really taking you seriously. So don't screw it up. Don't make the same mistakes you made when you were younger because nobody's going to laugh it off and say you're young and dumb anymore.
I mean, that really is a pep talk if I ever heard it, Coach. Thanks for that.
You're welcome. This story is literally the stuff of nightmares. 1-800-330-9999. Mamas, where did you go into labor? You can call or text 1-800-330-9999. Pregnant woman went into labor on a flight to Hawaii last Wednesday, and everything went fine. Why? Because there were three NICU nurses, a PA, and a doctor all on the same flight.
Can I just ask a question?
Yeah.
Who goes on a trip to Hawaii while they're that pregnant? I mean, like, did she live there? Was she going there? Like, what are you doing?
She was 27 weeks pregnant.
Oh, okay. So that's early then.
She didn't know she was pregnant.
Oh, my. What?
Uh-huh.
This is just how I look in my bikini.
Yep. This is the announcement that came over the PA.
All passengers to remain seated for just a few minutes to allow a passenger to seek medical assistance.
They're so calm. I don't know if I would be able to be that calm. I'd be like, there's a woman in aisle 6 having a baby!
Yeah, when you're the captain, you have to remain calm.
Right.
If you get super hyped up about anything out there, you're going to make everybody around you nervous. So, I mean, I think that they just respond to anything in that same voice.
And because it's 2021, immediately people started posting videos on TikTok.
Of course.
This lady just starts screaming, oh my God, we need help. Doctor, medical, like, oh my God. She's like freaking out. I'm like, she had a baby and it's little.
Yeah, it's little because it's 27 weeks. And I just can't imagine the kind of stress to be one of those three NICU nurses that luckily were on this plane because obviously when you're in a hospital and a mother gives birth at 27 weeks, you're prepared. Here they are talking about it because they certainly were not prepared on this flight.
We're used to like these stressful situations, not like this.
In a controlled environment.
Yeah, where we have like equipment. He's stable. They don't have a name yet, but the nurses and doctors have nicknamed him Jet at the hospital.
Baby's fine. Everything is okay.
Yeah, and now it's a tax write-off for those nurses. So that's good, right? That worked out well for them.
Yeah, I always find it crazy to hear about people's birth stories. Like, where everybody has a birth story. Like, that's the whole part of becoming a mom. It's like, what happened at your birth? And mine was bumpy. But both my girls, they would have stayed in my belly forever. Like, if I didn't evict them, I would still be pregnant with Hayden 12 years later.
You think so?
Oh, absolutely. Like, she was never going to come out. They both ended up being C-sections, and they tried to come out, and it didn't work. But when people go into labor in the random places, I wonder what that must feel like, because my own body has never gone into labor on its own before, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it must be scary, obviously, right? I mean, you know that it's coming. You're prepared for it. You're excited for it at the same time. I mean, especially when you haven't been through it before.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's going to catch you. It's just like anything else in life, right? It's going to be what you perceive to be the worst timing ever at that moment. But then when it's over, it's glorious and you're happy that it happened.
We asked on our Facebook page last night, where did you go into labor? And Jessica wrote, at the dentist office. I feel like
those chairs are so comfy.
Laying back.
I mean, you've got the right angle. I mean, I could see it happening, right?
Do you have stirrups here? No, right. It's a different kind of a chair, ma'am.
I'm sorry. You've got masks. Are you guys prepared to help me out here?
This seems close enough. Can I just have my baby here at the dentist?
Right,
the dentist,
I'm comfortable.
Is like, do you have a cavity, ma'am? What is wrong?
We can do both.
Where did you go into labor? 1-800-330-9999. Raven, a pregnant mama definitely had an angel on her shoulder, no doubt about it. She went into labor on a Delta flight to Hawaii. She was only 29 weeks pregnant.
I'm so jealous because I hear that babies born on airplanes actually get free airline tickets for their entire life.
That can't be real.
No, I'm telling you, with at least a few different airline carriers, it's 100% real.
We'll look into that.
But, I'm telling you.
I mean, I don't think that's something you can actually time out. That's for sure.
Well, I mean, a little bit crafty invention, you know, necessity being the mother of all invention. I love frequent flyer miles.
On the flight, there happened to be a doctor and three NICU nurses. And obviously, they didn't have any medical equipment since they were going to Hawaii. So the doctors and nurses used a couple of shoelaces to tie the umbilical cord. They made baby warmers out of microwave bottles, and they used an Apple Watch to measure the baby's heart rate. And they were able to keep the baby steady and everything okay, stable, 3 hours until the plane landed. I got to imagine the longest 3 hours of their life.
I mean, you could do some pretty impressive stuff with that drink cart, if it comes around ever at any time.
Oh, but sometimes you just go into labor and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening now. Where was it? 1-800-330-9999. Hey, it's Anna and Raven.
I was like 3 days away from my due date. And we had a fire drill at the high school, and I'm on the top floor, so I had a lot of stairs to walk down. And when I came back, I was like, oh, my stomach hurts. And I'm like, oh, now it doesn't. And then 5 minutes later, oh, my stomach hurts again. And I realized I was in labor in front of a whole class of students.
Oh, my gosh.
The fire drill made her go into labor.
I can imagine that, like, that type of audience. So you had to obviously make an announcement, right? Or call somebody at the office? Or what happened at that point?
Well, luckily it was a study hall, so I just kind of sat there and suffered quietly.
Oh, my God.
You are so much better than me.
Get up.
I'm like, kids, I don't care what happens to you now. You're on your own.
Nobody's doing anything worthwhile in that class anyway. Get out of there.
It was only for about 20 minutes, so it wasn't too bad.
Right. And then the baby arrived and the class ended.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Where did you give birth?
Hi. Well, I didn't give birth, but my water broke while I was driving to work, so I basically went into labor while I was driving.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and I drove all the way to the hospital and ran about 3 red lights on the way, and I just pulled into the ER drop area and waited for someone to come help me.
I can't even imagine driving and going into labor. Like, did you know what was happening?
Well, I mean, it was my first, so I kind of had an idea. Like, I read all the books, and, you know, you feel like you pee on yourself, and my whole feet was wet. And I was like, oh. And I started to I had been having contractions earlier that day, but I had had them like a few days before. So I thought maybe it was like Braxton Hicks. But then once, like, you know, I thought I peed myself, I was like, oh, yeah,
that's
happening.
It. This is real.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those Braxton Hicks got me every single time. I was like, is this definitely it? Nope. Well, thank you for the call. I'm glad everything was okay.
It was perfect. Thank you.
Do they make, like, seat covers for when you're getting
Raven,
really close?
Raven, No. Okay.
All right.
Yeah. I'm always fascinated to hear labor stories because I always had the Braxton Hicks, but my body never went into labor. So to me, when I hear this, it's fascinating. And actually kind of sad to think that I never know what that's going to feel like, you know?
Yeah, if you had only pushed it a little bit longer, huh? I mean, but that baby looked pretty big in there, so it had to come.
I'm 56 weeks pregnant.
Right. Right. Still waiting.
But imagine sitting in the row behind that woman and being like, do you really need to recline your seat? Oh, oh, you're having a baby. You know, okay, it's all right. Recline the seat. That's totally cool.
All I'm thinking is that if I'm the rose behind that woman on the plane, I'm never getting off this plane. They're going to take forever to deplane. I'm headed to Honolulu. Once I get there, I want to get off this plane.
A woman was 29 weeks pregnant and went into labor on a Delta flight heading to Hawaii. Lucky for her, she had a doctor on board and three NICU nurses. Can you imagine? Baby's okay. Everything is going to be just fine. Sometimes you just go into labor and you don't really expect to. Where were you? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
Oh, gosh. I gave birth. I was on my baby moon in Mexico and I went into labor.
Oh.
My husband thought I was joking because he was half wasted, but I was not. So our daughter was born at 31 weeks in Mexico, and unfortunately, she's now a healthy, happy 8-year-old, but yep, that was intense.
I spent a night in a Mexican emergency room.
Right. They gave you tequila for painkillers.
They did. I have to be honest with you. I'm sure a lot has changed in the 20 years since that happened.
Has it?
I don't know, but
right.
How was the situation?
I mean, was it your first baby? Did you have something to compare it with, like that happened here in the States, or what?
No, it was my first baby.
Yeah.
One of my relatives is a childbirth teacher and stuff. So fortunately, I was like familiar with the process. But, you know, I was way early. I was in a foreign country. My husband was trashed. You know, I certainly wasn't drinking or anything like that. But, you know, I'd been having fun that night. It was not what was anticipated. And it was, I mean, fortunately, for a first birth, it was relatively easy. And fortunately, in Mexico, most people speak English to some degree, but I would not recommend it for anyone. Like, do not go on a baby moon that late into your pregnancy.
Right. And Raven, where did you give birth?
I gave birth in the hospital during the pandemic. It was in April, and I was one of those moms that had to deliver with my husband being on FaceTime.
Oh. Okay.
Can you imagine? Yeah. It's terrible.
Yeah. I mean, we joked that he got away easy because he was just sitting there on the couch drinking a beer. Well, I was literally pushing a baby out of myself.
I mean, that must have been scary. You're
yeah,
there by yourself.
Terrifying.
I mean, even with your doctor there, like, you're afraid.
You know,
like, you know,
there's been so much in the past week in the news about how the birth rate is at the lowest it's been in decades. It's really, really low, and it's terrible. And all I keep thinking is, like, well, when you were watching all these women that had to give birth by themselves wearing a mask without their husbands even in the room with them.
Right.
Are you really in a rush, you know, at that point when you don't know what's happening? You think at that point you're like, yeah, let's bring more babies into the world?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that everything is okay, and I'm glad that we're getting back to a sense of normalcy. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Where did you go into labor?
In my house, and not only went into labor, but it was very fast, and I delivered there too.
Did anybody help you? Were the paramedics there in time?
No. So thankfully, my husband was home. We had gone to the doctor that morning. Wasn't feeling well. Usual, you know, just Braxton Hicks. Get used to it. You're going to have it the remainder of your pregnancy. First thing was, I was only 23 weeks pregnant.
Oh, my gosh.
But it has a very happy ending.
Oh, thank God. How old is your baby now?
17.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'm
that's
so
good.
Happy to hear that. That's exactly the Mother's Day ending I needed to this story. Thank you so much for the call.
Happy Mother's Day.
Just all this Mother's Day stuff.
Happy Mother's Day.
Over the last week at AnnaandRaven.com, you've been submitting incredible stories about your mom. Anna and Raven's Mother's Day Melody.
We take all those great little tidbits and turn them into a song.
And we're ready to surprise a mom right now.
Good morning, Becky. Happy Mother's Day week.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That is so nice of you.
We have your daughter, Fran, on the line here. And she wrote us a novel about how incredible you are and everything about you. Frances, would you like to say something to your mom as we lead up to Mother's Day?
Oh, Mom, I hope you have the best Mother's Day. I love you and appreciate you. And I wish I was there to give you a big hug and kiss. I miss you. Oh, I miss you, too. I love you, Mama.
All right, so Becky.
God, I feel like a piece of iron over here rusting. there's moisture coming from my eyes right now. It's so foreign to me, but oh, it's so nice just to hear you guys share a moment like that. It's just so nice to be with you guys.
Well, all my children are precious.
First of all, the names of your children, you call them Junior, Bubba, and Moon Man, and Sis. Is that right?
Oh, yes. Yes, they all have meanings.
All right, we have our producer here named John.
John loves his guitar and he loves to write songs. So based on a very little of the long amount of things that Fran has written about you, all great things, and I will certainly tell you all about them, he's written you a song. Are you ready to hear your song?
Oh, I am ready.
Okay.
Becky, happy Mother's Day. We hope you're feeling grand. Frances wanted a special gift, so we said we'd lend a hand. Now Becky's kind and gentle, but don't you get in her way, or she'll run you over like she did those ladies from the Red Hat Society.
What?
Becky, happy Mother's Day. We hope you're doing well. Frances wants to send her love, and Anna and Raven do as well. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
How did you run over those women from the Red Hat Society?
No, she did not tell that. I happened to be in a wheelchair because I had a broken ankle and I had to go to market. Really wasn't a good driver of the motorized wheelchair. And I just accidentally went too fast, but they got out of the way, but they gave me really bad looks. And I kept saying, I'm sorry, but it didn't get it. It did not get it at all.
I love it so much.
Well, you're forgiven of all things that you confess on Mother's Day week around here. You're good with us, Becky.
Good.
Just some of the things that your daughter has told us about. Mom and Dad went to a funeral in Virginia. She lost her balance and slid down the snowy hill in her hat, gloves, and a coat. It was a sight to behold. In their first home, Dad was going to hang pictures. He was told to hang them around eye level. My dad was 6'6". Everyone got a crick in their neck from looking at the pictures he hung at his eye level.
Was horrified.
Fran said that Dad is the character of the family, but Mom, you're the center of their universe. They are so blessed to have you as loving parents. They have always supported each and every single one of you, and they're always there for you guys. So happy Mother's Day from Raven, I, and of course all of your family and your daughter Frances.
Oh, thank you so much. This is just a real surprise. Y'all have a blessed day.
From a lack of a filter.
I love when it's sweet.
To unhinged lunacy.
3 hours in traffic to get there while I just sat in traffic like a crazy person.
And a lack of compassion for the common man. We ask you, the people, is Anna Zapp out of line?
I might be out of line. Usually I pretty much stick to my guns on things, but for this, I'm not sure if I made the right decision.
I feel like it's a real conundrum, though. I feel like there's definitely, you can go one way or the other on this.
Yeah. 1-800-330-9999. You can call or text. Am I out of line? It's not often that my tween, Hayden, she's 12 now, asks me for my advice on something. So when I do, I get very excited when she does, you know, because it's right. Like, okay, don't screw this up.
Right. Sit down. Here's a child, but she's going to be an adult soon. You're making her into a person.
Yeah, so she had her soccer game last Saturday, and she has another game coming up tomorrow. And she's a very good defender, and her team is very good this year. And it is very difficult to get by Hayden, and she's got a big kick and all that good stuff. This past weekend, they were clobbering the other team. I mean, at one point, I believe they were up 9-0.
I mean, we've been to those type of games, right? Yeah. You've seen those games as a parent.
Yeah. So much so that Hayden scored on defense. And if you're a soccer fan, you know that that is not something that normally happens. So after the game, she came up to me and she was kind of sad. And I was like, what's wrong, Mama? And she was like, I got to ask you something when we get in the car. I go, all right.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'm like preparing myself.
Right. What happened out here on the grass?
Yeah. So we get in the car. She goes, should I have let them get by me a couple times when we started winning by a lot of goals? And I go, what do you mean? She goes, should I just let them by so they could have had a shot? And I looked at her, I go, no, Mama, we don't ever take mercy on the other team. You know? I go,
are we talking about a shot at goal or the shot at the game?
Just getting by her. She's like the last line of defense between like the goal and her. And
sure.
She's tough to get by. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
And she was like, but we were already winning by so many. There was no way they were going to beat us. She's like, right. And I felt bad because they kept trying and I kept just taking the ball away from them over and over and over. I go, but that's your job. That's what you're supposed to do. She goes, but even when we're winning by that much, and I said, You're always kind. You're always nice. You always play by the rules. You always be a good girl. I go, but
destroy anything that gets in the way between you being the absolute greatest at what it is that you're doing. Right? I mean, I know that's what the voice inside of you is screaming with every fiber of your being.
Because you know how I am.
But is that what you said? I mean, kind of.
No, I said you always have to be kind. You always have to be respectful.
No, I got the first line. I got that. No, but at the end you said, but you kill. Never.
And then I was like, well, maybe if you're winning by 12 goals. And then I started doing that.
Started becoming a number,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and then I was like, this is dumb.
20, right? You were like, nope, never, no mercy. Right?
Like, you know,
in the end, is that what you told her?
I told her, you always try your best, and if it's going to be something, you don't ever want somebody to beat you because you let them win, because then that victory takes away from them.
So don't let the door open at the very least. Your Hayden is such a sweet girl. She's so nice to be concerned, because it hurts, you know, when you see somebody, they're hurting, they're trying, but you hear their whimper as you just kick that ball away.
I said to her, it's like what we played Connect Four. When we were little and she started playing Connect Four, I never let her beat me. Not once.
Of course not.
Now, she could run circles around me. I cannot beat that girl. And I go, you never would have gotten that good if I let you win.
Right.
But am I wrong? Am I out of line? 1-800-330-9999. What would you have said in that situation? You can call or text. Check in our text line at 1-800-330-9999. Connie texted, I agree with you. That's the world of competitive sports. It's not being mean or heartless. You were right. She did her job. Over the weekend, last weekend, Hayden, that's my 12-year-old, she's an incredible soccer defender, and they played a team and they clobbered them. And she got in the car afterwards and she was kind of quiet and sad, and I couldn't understand why she was so upset after a big win. And she said, should I let him get by at least once? And I was like, no, that's not what you do, Hayden. Your job is to defend that goal. They come at you, you go after them. Like 100%, you take that ball. That's what you do.
She's just such a sweet girl.
She really is. I'm so blessed to have her. But, you know, I said to her, you always have to be kind. You always have to be respectful. All of that. I go, but your job is to be a defender. And that's what you do, is you defend that goal, no matter what the score is.
You know, you watched Cobra Kai. Just ponder for a moment. What would have happened if Johnny had been a little bit more welcoming to Daniel in the first movie? Maybe there wouldn't have been all this misunderstandings, right?
What would you do in this situation? Was I out of line for telling her, no, you never show mercy, no matter what the score is?
Strike first, strike hard, no mercy.
Hi, it's Anna on Raven.
You know what? I would have just told her, instead of, don't let them pass you. I would have just said, you know, pass the ball more than often to other players and just play keep away pretty much.
I mean, that feels terrible, too. Have you ever been the kid trying to chase the ball amongst other kids?
Like, yeah.
That's a terrible feeling. Yeah, I'm not sure if that's a good answer.
It's monkey in the middle. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Am I out of line? What do you think?
You are not out of line. I come from a family of athletes. Our sport was lacrosse. But in a competitive sport, especially like girls soccer, you're teaching her to be competitive, and those girls on the other team are not going to benefit from her taking it easy on them. They're not going to work harder. Every loss in a sport is a chance to do better. It should motivate you to work harder.
I agree.
Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. What if she lets the girl go by? She scores. That girl takes inspiration from the fact that she was able to keep trying, try really hard. She grows up to be president because she's really motivated and she remembers the time she scored in a soccer game. You just got rid of a president. Both of you just got rid of a president.
That was a far reach.
I was looking for a good team, and we never took it easy on anybody.
That's because you lacrosse players are crazy. That's because you lacrosse players are crazy. My brother played lacrosse, and you guys are crazy.
Soccer is crazy, too, though. Thank you for the call. Anna and Raven, am I out of line? Just be honest with me.
No, I don't think you are. I think a parent's responsibility is to encourage their children to do the absolute best they can. But if the team is annihilating the other team, maybe the coach should put in a less experienced player to let them work on their skills and give the other team a shot to have a little fun. But you always have to encourage your children to be the absolute best that they can.
I thought about it. I go, why aren't they pulling her out? I thought about that. Like when it was
like LeBron, like let her rest the fourth quarter, right? Like, oh, Steph Curry's on the sideline now.
I'm sure, you know, there's got to be a kid out there that would love to play and is not as skilled as your daughter. And maybe she should have some time to play out there and work on her skills. But, you know, that's the coach's responsibility. You got to encourage your kid to do the absolute best. They never give up on anything.
You know, I think the other thing to consider here, Anna, is that Hayden's out there. She shakes the hands at the end of the games, right? She says,
well,
good game.
Well, not anymore. There's no shaking hands anymore.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right, because of COVID.
You just wave.
Well, that's a little bit more hurtful because an encouraging word from a great player might really help the other team. Oh, this is sad.
Yeah. All right. But I'm glad I'm not out of line. It makes me feel better about myself.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day, a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you just decide who's right. Luke and Julia. Julia, what's happening?
Well, we have a teenage daughter, and her grades have been slipping in school. And, oh, God, my husband is just, like, going too far. He's threatening to stop her from going track practice and the meets and, you know, that she needs to take care of her academics more seriously. But she loves track. You know, she's doing really well with it. And, you know, this could be the determining factor of what college she goes to after high school. You know how important that stuff is. You know how important they look at other outside activities.
Luke, let me jump in. I mean, if your daughter enjoys track so much, why would you want to take that away from her?
Because there are priorities in life, okay? Yeah, as Julia mentioned, you know, the whole college thing, yes, that's very important. But, you know, if she loves track so much, then you need to bring those grades up because there are all kinds of things other than sports, you know, to, you know, put into her life to make her a whole rounded person. I think it's so much more important that she does her academic thing. And like Joey said, that's going to determine what college she gets into. So I'm thinking, all right, chill out on the track for a minute. Get back into the books. Bring your grades up. We get back into track over the summer and everything will be good. That's what I'm thinking.
No, but that's not right because she needs the track in order to get the track scholarship. Academic scholarship is just not enough. She needs the track scholarship.
Anna, I just recently watched that the College Scandal documentary that was on Netflix there. I forget what it's called. But, you know, obviously it got a big light shone on it with Lori Loughlin and all those, you know, cases there. It seems to me that if you play a niche sport, like something that's not all that popular, one of these crew or something like that, you've got a better shot. But, I mean, track is a relatively popular sport. You're going to have a whole lot of people applying for a track scholarship. And I would imagine that grades are going to be a big factor for that.
But there is something to be said about the fact that if track is what makes her happy, why would you take that away from her? Because, you know, it's all.
Thank you.
These years are important, like not only for academics, but for all the other things that are happening that may bring you joy.
Especially nowadays.
Well, let's see what people think. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Luke and Julia. They say that their teenage daughter, her grades have been slipping in school. And Luke has suggested that they make her quit track. That's going to be her punishment. She can't get her act together. Well, then she doesn't get to do the one thing she loves, track.
I don't think you're phrasing it the right way. It's not a punishment. It's the fact is that if her grades aren't good, then she doesn't have extra time to do that. She's getting ready to go to college, and dad says that she needs to get the grades up if she wants to be doing anything extracurricular.
I would say that he's treating it as if it's a punishment because she loves it. And that's the thing. Julia, his mom, her mom says, well, we can't take that away from her. She says it's because she's got a good shot at getting a scholarship in track. I don't know about all that, but I think it's more a question of, is it just wrong to take it away from her, something she loves?
If you're holding out for a scholarship, I think you might as well just be playing the lottery.
Well, whose side are you on this morning? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Ian on Raven Couples Court.
I'm on the wife's side. I think that she's going to need the track for the stress reliever. You know, my daughter, she does basketball. And, you know, all the way through college, she was saying, you know, I got to go. Whenever she would, you know, like testing and things like that, she would get stressed out. She would automatically go play basketball. It would de-stress her, and then she would get back to academics again. I think right now she's just trying to weigh it all out on how to do both, the daughter.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's a couple's court. Luke and Julia's teenage daughter, her grades have been slipping at school. So Luke has said he would like her to quit track to focus on her schoolwork. But Julia says you can't take away the only activity that she loves that makes her happy. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Yana and Raven.
Hi, I'm on the dad's side. I'm a teacher, and I know that the kids, I teach middle school. And if they're on a team and their grades aren't good, teachers have to sign a form every week. And the coaches decide whether they're on or not based on their academics. So her grades could be kicking her off.
You know, it's funny, though, because you wonder when you say your grades have been slipping. Sure, but she may have been a straight-A student, and now they slip to B. to a parent, you would realize
I didn't
that.
Say what the grades were.
Yeah, that's the difference.
I don't know. Thank you for the call. It seems to me that college is so competitive, and I get it. Money is always a factor, obviously, when you're trying to go to schools, but the likelihood of you capturing a track scholarship over other athletes who are fully dedicated, who have been going at this full speed all these years, I mean, what's the likelihood of that? You're probably taking out a student loan one way or the other.
See, I don't understand why she keeps bringing up the scholarship, because to me, that's silly. To me, it's more about you're taking away something that your daughter loves because her grades aren't good. And is that right or wrong? Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
On the wife's side. The kids need the sports. You got to threaten something more like their cell phone or something else.
I 100% agree with you. I don't think taking away activities that they thrive on is the way to threaten them. I agree.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Julia, our audience agreed with you today. You can't take away something she loves, you know.
Thank you.
You can keep encouraging her to work harder, but saying, hey, you can't do track because your grades aren't doing great is not the way to go about it.
Yeah, especially with the pandemic, everybody's, life has turned upside down and there's so many kids going through depression. And this is going to make her, give her joy. I don't want to take that away from her.
Luke, you going to be all right?
I got two women to deal with, okay? That's a lot of estrogen in the house. But I'm going to tell you, I'm sticking to my guns. She's got to bring up the grades. If she can do the track and do the grades, I'm going to be a happy man. But
I don't think there's anything wrong with saying to her that you're considering this and that to, you know, please try to work harder in school and maybe getting her the extra help that she needs. That I don't see a problem with. But doing it right off the bat, not cool.
If she needs tutoring or something, not a problem. We'll make it happen. But, yeah, that's got to happen.
All right, you have a problem, too? Send an email at couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
Hi, this is Tom.
Tom, you're up. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Tom.
All right, Tom, we have $300 on the line for you. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring Raven back in, ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, though, it goes to Raven. You ready to play?
Let's go.
Number one, Mark Wahlberg has gained 20 pounds in 3 weeks for his new role in the movie Father Stu. He still has 20 more to gain. He was the front man for what 90s hip-hop group?
Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
Number two, Tallulah Willis announced her engagement to her boyfriend, Dylan Buss. Bruce Willis is her father, but who is her famous mother?
Demi Moore.
Number three, Jessica Alba made a ton of money yesterday when her company went public. She's the founder of a company that makes bath, body, baby, and cleaning products without added chemicals. What's the name of that company?
Oh, I don't know.
Number four, Broadway is set to reopen September 14th. What iconic Broadway musical is based on the songs of ABBA?
Mamma Mia.
At number five, Debbie Gibson and Joey McIntyre have announced a Las Vegas show together. Joey McIntyre is part of what boy band?
New Kids on the Block.
Not bad, Tom. Not bad at all. Let me bring Raven right back in.
Yo.
Okay, Tom did great. He got 4 out of 5.
Pretty impressive, Tom. $300. Let's see how I do.
Number one, you just fall?
No, I just threw your chair here.
All right, number one, Mark Wahlberg has gained 20 pounds in 3 weeks for his new role in the movie Father Stu. He has still 20 more to gain. He was the front man for what 90s hip-hop group?
Well, it's easy, Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
That's right. He has to eat 7,000 calories every day. It has always been my dream to gain weight for a role.
I'm sure he'll be right back to looking good after it.
Number two, Tallulah Willis announced her engagement to her boyfriend, Dylan Buss. Bruce Willis is her father, but who is her famous mother?
Her mom is Demi Moore.
Yes. Number three, Jessica Alba made a ton of money yesterday, like millions and millions of dollars.
Hundreds.
Yep. When her company went public. She's the founder of a company that makes bath, body, baby, and cleaning products without added chemicals. What's the name of the company?
The Honest Company.
That's right. Number four, Broadway is set to reopen September 14th. What iconic Broadway musical is based on the songs of ABBA?
Mamma Mia.
Yep, you guys are tied at 4. Debbie Gibson and Joey McIntyre have announced a Las Vegas show together. Joey McIntyre is part of what boy band?
New Kids.
That's right. I guess they were easy today. Tom, he beat you 5-4.
Yeah, good job, Raven. This is Tom, and I can't be Raven.
Well, we're going to hook you up with an Anna and Raven t-shirt. Thanks for playing, Tom.
Good game, man. Enjoy that shirt, buddy. Better luck next time.
Hold on the line.
Thank you.